بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم انك حميد مجيد. My dear brothers and elders, أعزائنا العلماء, when you go into a shop to buy anything, when you go into a shop to buy toothpaste, I'm giving you examples of very small things. You go into a shop to buy toothpaste, or to go into a shop to buy a cell phone. What do you ask for? Do you go and say, "Give me toothpaste"? You ask. Is that what you do? No. What do you say? The brand. You ask for some brand. You give me Colgate, give me this, give me that, some brand. If you say, "Give me toothpaste," then the shopkeeper will ask you, "Which brand?" Brand gives recognition. Brand differentiates. Differentiation produces brand. Brand inspires loyalty, and loyalty enables influence. So my question is, what is your brand, what is my brand as a Muslim? What is the meaning of brand Muslim? Any brand, my day job is, I am a business consultant, as you know, and I teach in various business schools, and branding is one of the things that we teach. So brands are comprised of what we call elements. Brand Muslim is comprised of four elements, and I will list them for you, and I want you to remember that, and I'm going to be asking you those elements as we go forward. So listen carefully. So brand Muslim consists of four elements. What are the four elements? The first element of brand Muslim is obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolute obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second element of brand Muslim is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third element of brand Muslim is that we Muslims as an ummah are one people. We are one people. And the fourth element of brand Muslim is that we are a people with a purpose. We have a collective purpose, which is the reason we exist. So what are the four elements of brand? The first one is absolute obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second one is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third element is one people. Fourth element is we are people with a purpose. So let us see how this works. And let us see what is the result of this when we put it all together. The first element of brand is that we are people who are completely and totally obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about this, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun."
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not die except in a state of Islam. What is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa is usually translated, if you read the translations, taqwa is usually translated as fear of Allah. If you read an English translation, you will find they will say, oh, you who believe, fear Allah as it is his right to be feared. My submission to you is that fear is a negative emotion. Fear is a negative emotion. You don't love the thing you fear. You fear snakes. Do you love snakes? The people who love snakes don't fear snakes. Most people fear snakes and they don't love snakes. Ask your small child who goes to school whether he fears any particular teacher. And if he says, I fear this teacher, ask him, do you love that teacher? He will say no. You ask him, do you obey the teacher? He says yes. Why do you obey the teacher? Because he will beat me. I obey the teacher because he will beat me. But I don't love the teacher. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Muslims, about the believers, and I will come to that in the second stage in detail, but just now, about the believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained and mentioned one critical trait of the believers. And what did he say? He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. So how do you put these two things together? How do you put the khashyat of Allah together with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Two apparently opposite emotions. Fear is a negative emotion, love is a positive emotion. Fear produces hatred, love produces love. How do you put these two things together? That concept is called taqwa. And how is it? How does that work? Taqwa is the fear of offending the one I love the most. And that is how the love of Allah and the fear of Allah come together. Taqwa is the fear not of Allah, but of offending the one I love the most. So the more you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you will fear offending Allah, the more you will fear disobeying Allah, and therefore the more your taqwa will increase. Taqwa increases according to the increase in the hub of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody had more taqwa than Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nobody loved Allah more than Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِي وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. How do you bring this emotion of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into your life? The way to inculcate the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives is to focus on and reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more we focus on the glory and majesty of Allah, the more the khashyat of Allah, the hub of Allah will come into our hearts. More we will be inclined to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah said, لَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die except in a state of Islam. How can we ensure that we do not die except in a state of Islam? By living in a state of Islam. We cannot live in a state outside of Islam and expect to die in a state of Islam. It's not possible. The way you live is the way you will die. So if we are living in disobedience, the chances of dying in disobedience are very high. And that is why we need to live in a state of obedience if we want to die in a state of Islam, which is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we do that? As I said, we do that by reflecting on the glory and majesty of Allah. So let us see what is the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as He described it Himself. Nobody can introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than Allah introduced Himself. So how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduce himself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself in the surah which is the rukun of the Quran and which we recite in every single rakat of every kind of salah that we pray. And what is the surah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmid deen.
Allah introduced himself. You know the meanings of all of these ayats which I will recite before you, so I will not take time with the translations. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about himself,
Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm, lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, man dha alladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi idhnihi, ya'lamu ma bayna aydihim wa ma khalfahum. ولا يعيدون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يؤوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ هُوَ الرَّحْمَنُ الرَّحِيمُ وَاللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الاسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والارض وهو العزيز الحكيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله احد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا احد
الله سبحانه وتعالى introduced himself. And my brothers and sisters, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduced himself, he told us two things. He said, لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَىٰ جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا
مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ وَتِلْكَ الْأَمْثَالُ نَضْرِبُهَا لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us an example and illustrated the effect that the Qur'an must have on us. Allah said, if this kitab was sent onto a mountain, the mountain would have humbled itself in dust. And therefore, when you listen to the recitation of the Qur'an, when you read the Qur'an, when you see the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around you, my request is, let us reflect on what is happening to our hearts. And why am I saying that? What is my dalil for asking you to reflect on your heart? My dalil again is the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some things as the criteria, as the character, as the definition, as the sign of Muslims or believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ
Allah said, truly and verily the believers are those who when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is recited before them, name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes before them, something happens to their hearts. Wajilat qulubuhum, their hearts shiver with the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recited before them, their iman increases. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. The result of these two things is that they have tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluh. They have complete and total reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why one of the Salafu Salihin, he said, do not worry about the future because the future is in the hands of Allah. It's not in your hand. So why do you worry? So if you take this ayat of Surah Al-Anfal, Allah is saying, reflect on your heart. Allah is giving us a meter to measure the state of our iman. Allah is giving us a meter to see. The meter is for me to see if I am a mu'min or not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who is a mu'min? Whose heart shivers with the glory and majesty of Allah when Allah is mentioned before him. Whose iman increases when the ayat of Allah are recited before him, or he sees the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the kainat. And the third thing is, he has reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has complete and total faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah said, الَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Two more things Allah mentioned. These are the people who establish the salah. Who establish the salah. And they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them a certificate. Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتُ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ. Allah said, and for them, they are darajat, and there are stages and levels of reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is maghfirat for them, and there is forgiveness for them, and there is rizqul kareem, there is beautiful rizq for them, which refers to the dunya as well as jannah inshaAllah. So, if you want, and I want, and we definitely want this, we want to increase our obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to reflect on the glory and majesty of Allah. Reflect on what is happening in our hearts. Somebody asked me a question. They said, I have been given a zikr by my sheikh, and I have been told to do the zikr of La ilaha illallah 500 times in the day. So should I do 500 times or not? I told him it's not a company game. Reflect on what happens to your heart when you say La ilaha illallah. If what is supposed to happen to your heart happens one time when you say La ilaha illallah, that one La ilaha illallah is enough for the whole of your life. And if it is not happening, then you can be reciting 100,000 La ilaha illallah every day, it has no effect. Today we have forgotten the whole issue of tazkiyatun nafs wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. Today we have forgotten the whole issue of being in connection with our heart to see, to monitor what is my heart doing. And that is why we are not concerned about the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first requirement of brand Muslim is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُم بِهِ اللَّهُ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah said that everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then the development, whatever is in the heavens and the earth, love is Allah to come to. And Allah said that Allah is aware of and of whatever is happening inside you, your thoughts and feelings, and Allah is aware of your actions and your speech. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold you accountable for these things. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to punish, He will punish. If He wishes to forgive, He will forgive. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a level who is capable of doing anything.
When this ayat was revealed in the Asbab al-Nuzul, if you read Al-Wahidi's book on Asbab al-Nuzul, this hadith is narrated that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in one narration they have actually named the Sahaba who include Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Abdurrahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, and others. This ayah which was revealed was so heavy on the Sahaba that they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that they fell down on their knees before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They went down on their knees does not mean they went in and sajda to the Nabi. No, they just went down on their knees. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this ayah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that they will hold us accountable for what is in our thoughts and our emotions. They said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to pray and we pray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to give zakat and we give zakat. We have control over our tongues and we have control over our actions and we keep them, and we ensure that we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we do not have control over our thoughts and emotions. Sometimes one of us will get a thought. For that thought, that person is willing to sacrifice his entire life, but he cannot control that thought. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that He will hold us accountable for these things. We are destroyed, we are finished. Our whole life has become worthless. What did Rasulullah say? Just think about that, think about this situation. I ask you this question. This Maruza, the Sahaba were not complaining, the Sahaba were not protesting. They brought a request before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tell me this request, does it sound reasonable or do you think it is unreasonable? Reasonable, right? But what was the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Did he say, yes, I think you are being reasonable, let me ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? No. Rasulullah's face became red with anger. Rasulullah said, are you going to be like those people who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed His kalam, they said, Sami'na wa asayna. We have heard, but we will not obey. He's referring to the Bani Israel. This is what they said to Musa alayhi salam. Sami'na wa asayna. We hear, but we will not obey. Rasulullah said, good. سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. He said, say, O our Rabb, we hear and we obey. سمعنا وأطعنا. He's not saying we hear and we will think about this and we will reflect on it, and if it makes sense, we will do it, and if it does not make sense, sorry, you have to say no. سمعنا وأطعنا. We hear and we obey. غفرانك ربنا. O Allah, forgive us. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرَ الْمُلُوِ الْأَوَرْ. So the Sahaba said, سَمَعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرَ. Then what happened?
Then nothing happened. Nothing happened.
And nothing happened for how long? Nothing happened for 12 months. Nothing happened for 12 months. See the training of the Sahaba in terms of obedience that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was doing, how hard it was. Here an ayat is revealed. The Sahaba they took the Quran literally, that this is Allah speaking to me. And with that desire to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they didn't come to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they did not want to obey. They wanted to obey, but then they said, Ya Rasulullah, this is something which we want to obey, but we can't do it. It is so difficult. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells them, do something. Samayana wa say, Qul samayana wa ata'na ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. They
natural expectation is, okay, now the Nabi has given an instruction, I have obeyed, something should happen.
Nothing happened.
Okay, nothing happened today, maybe tomorrow, maybe day after tomorrow, maybe next month, maybe next week. Nothing happened for 12 months. And 12 months we know today because we know the entire story. Put yourself in the place of those Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi ajma'in. Did they know that 12 months later something will happen? No. They didn't know that. This was the rigor. This was the toughness. This was the hard training that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu gave to the Sahaba, which made their iman like a rock in the middle of the ocean. The biggest wave can come and it will smash itself on that rock. Nothing happens to the rock. That was the iman of the Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam. That's why one person went somewhere and the entire country happened. Then 12 months later, 12 months later, Jibreel alayhi salam comes. And he comes with the last two ayahs of Surah Al-Baqarah. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ كُلُّنَا آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ. See the honor, see the wages of obedience. Allah could have used any words He wanted. But what did Allah use? Allah used the words of His Nabi alayhi salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالُوا سَمْعَنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated the earlier ayah. He comforted the Sahaba. He said, don't worry. Don't worry. I will not hold you responsible for thoughts and feelings. Only for what you do. And only for what you say. لَا يُكَلِّمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them. Allah taught them what to ask. Allah taught them how to ask. Tell me, what is better than being taught how to make dua by the one who is going to accept this dua? This is the basis of obedience. This is the honor of obedience. رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. The first element of brand Muslim is absolute obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for that, as I said, you must focus on the glory and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring this khashyat of Allah into our hearts. What is the second element of brand Muslim? What is it? Love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mentioned to you the dalil for this. Why must I love Allah? Who said I must love Allah? Allah said you must love Allah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Believers are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone and anything else. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this much more strongly and much more powerfully in Surah Tawbah. قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَ كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين.
الله سبحانه وتعالى enumerated and listed out 8 things, all of which are halal to love. Reflect on this. All the things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed out are halal to love. In some cases they are not only halal to love, in other places in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned to us that we should love them and we should do ihsan with them and we should be good to them and we should be kind to them and we should lower the wing of kindness to them and so on and so forth. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. But in this ayat, what is Allah saying? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say to them, قُلْ, if they love their parents, if they love their children, if they love their brothers and sisters, their siblings, if they love their wives and husbands, spouses, if they love the wealth that they gather, it's not talking about haram wealth, it's talking about halal wealth. If they love their businesses in which they fear decline, if they love the houses they build, and they feel good when they look at the house and say, Alhamdulillah, if they love all of these things, all of which are halal to love, but if they love them, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِهَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. If they love them more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they love them more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if they love these things more than struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is Allah saying? فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ. Tell them to get out. Tell them to go away. And wait for the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend, and then Allah does not stop there. Allah said, Wallahu la yahdil qawm al fasiqin. Allah will not guide these people. Allah will not guide those who are rebellious. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not an option. To love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a requirement of iman. So how do you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How do you bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into our hearts? My brothers and sisters, I submit to you that to love somebody, you have to focus on what you receive from them. To love your parents, you must think about, and Allah mentioned this in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your mother is somebody who carried you for 9 months in her belly. Is somebody who went through pain after pain to deliver you. So what is the message? The message is you receive something from them, focus on that, be grateful for that, and therefore love them and serve them. So to love somebody, we need to focus on what we receive from them. So let us see what did we receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is love. We must do this in two parts. One is in general what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned of what He gave to all of humanity and what He gave specifically to the Muslims. That I will recite for you. But that is not sufficient. I request each one of you when you go home today is to sit down with a piece of paper and write down on that specifically what Allah gave you personally, individually. Because that is different. For each one of us it will be different. So list it down and then thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for each one of those individual things. So in general, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give to all people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ وجعلنا سراجا وهاجا
من المعثرات ماء سجادا لنخرج به حبا ونباتا وجنات ألفافا.
Allah mentioned the earth, Allah mentioned the mountains, Allah mentioned sleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned our spouses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the gardens and the crops that we grow. Allah mentioned in general things that He has given us His blessings to all of humanity. It's a tragedy of the human being that we become aware of a blessing only after we lose it. The Muslim is the one who takes, who registers that blessing while it is still there and thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then what is the benefit of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Allah said, the one who is grateful to me for a blessing, I will give barakah in that, I will increase this blessing. And the one who is ungrateful, let him beware of my punishment which is severe. So all of these blessings Allah gave generally to everybody, those who obey Him, those who don't obey Him, those who are Muslim, those who are not Muslim. Rain falls, benefits everyone. Sleep comes to everyone. Spouses people have, alhamdulillah, good spouses, and so on and so forth. The mountains, the earth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned some things which are specific to Muslims. And even in that they are specific and general, but some of some things are very specific. The most specific, the most beautiful of them is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الرحمن علم القرآن خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Imagine a world without the Quran, without the hidayah of the Quran, without the recitation of the Quran, without being able to listen to the Quran. We are coming close to the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us Ramadan al-Kareem in good health and in good iman and with free time to enable us to take full advantage of this month to accept all your du'as, inshallah, in Ramadan. One of the most beautiful things that happens in Ramadan is that we get to listen to the Quran in Ramadan. If that was not there, would you feel a loss? What kind of a tragedy would be where you cannot get, where you have never heard the Quran? Or you cannot hear the Quran? I know people, I know madaris where there are students who are making hifz of Quran, but the students are deaf. They are not blind deaf, they can see, but they are deaf. So he is reciting Quran. Somebody is doing his Islah, so the person listening is correcting him and so on and so forth. But what he is reciting, he can't hear. Did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gave us hearing, that we can listen to the Quran and we love the recitation of the Quran? Did we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What do you think will happen if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala passes a rule to say that tomorrow you will only wake up with those things that you thank Me for today? This is the mercy of Allah, Allah does not do this. But I am saying, supposing Allah did. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that tomorrow you will wake up only with what you thank Me for today, believe me, there is not a single human being in the world who will wake up with what he has done. Some people will wake up without their children. Some people will wake up without their parents. Some people will wake up without eyesight. Some people will wake up without hearing. Some people will wake up with this loss and that loss and that loss. Because we have not thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the mercy and the glory and majesty of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu that He continues to give and give and give and give. The more we thank Allah, the more Allah will increase the blessings that He has given us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, as I told you, in general things. Individually, I request you, sit down, literally sit with a pen and paper, and write down, list down the blessings of Allah. Some of those blessings have names. The names of your parents, the names of your children, the names of your spouse, write the name down.
of those things are your faculties. Some of those things are the opportunities you got. Some of those things are the safety. Rasulullah sallam, in one hadith, he said, if a man wakes up, he said, if you wake up in the morning with good health, with your health intact, in a state of safety where you are not living in fear, and with enough food for that day, he's not saying for the month, for the year, for that day. Three things. What are the three things? Your health is intact, alhamdulillah. You are living in a state of safety, there is no one threatening you, no one coming to kill you. And you have food for that day. Rasulullah said, it is as if the whole world has been given to that person. Every single one of us here sitting here in Sri Lanka, mashallah, you have a beautiful country. You have a country in which you can sit here peacefully. There are no electric fences, there are no barbed wires, there are no guard dogs, there is no instant armed response. Because you don't have violent crime. You are not living in a state of war, there is no one coming to destroy you. You are living in a country where you have beautiful masajid, where you have, you call the adhan, you have your salah, you look and talk and walk like Muslims, alhamdulillah, nobody objects, nobody kills you because you look like a Muslim. You do da'wat and tabligh, nobody stops you. You want to build a masjid, nobody comes in the way, nobody destroys your masjid, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. You start schools, Islamic schools, Muslim schools, nobody's got any problem. Do we thank Allah for all this? On a daily basis. I can tell you, I travel all over the world, I can tell you there are countries, and not one of them, there are many countries, where all of these things, either all of them or some of them are not possible. Here, you have all this. So thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Consciously thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Living in an unconscious state is not a sign of intelligence. And when you do that, you will find that the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inshallah will increase your heart. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as the sign of the believer. Khashyatullah and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tatajafa junubuhum anil madaji yad'una rabbahum khawfan wa tama'a wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are the believers, who are the good people? Allah said, they are those who wake up in the night for tahajjud and they stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bayna al-khawfi wa tama'a. They stand before the fear of offending Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is taqwa. And they stand before, between that and tam'a, which is hope for the glory, hope for the forgiveness and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which comes from love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bayna al-khawfi wa tama'a, wa mimma razaqnahum yunfiqun, and they spend from what we have given them. And what is the reward of that? Allah says, فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ الْأَعْيُنِ جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah said, if they knew what I have kept hidden for them in terms of reward, it would be the goodness of their life. So develop this. Make the tahajjud fard on yourself. Do not spend a day when you have not prayed the tahajjud. Stand up in the night, at least 2 rakat, pray 2 rakat of the tahajjud. Make this the ma'mool in your life. Wake up 1 hour before the time for fajr starts, pray the tahajjud, read Quran, and then go to the masjid for salat. Then see how much barakah will come in your life. So two elements of four of grand Muslim. The khashyat of Allah, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the third one? That we are one people. We are one people. And what is the dalil for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاعْبُدُونِ. And in another place Allah said, wa inna hadhihi ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fattaqun. In the first ayat Allah said fa'budun, the other ayat, second ayat, the same word word, except there is a waw in the beginning of the ayah, and the word where fa'budu yal mattaqun. So ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah said, you are one people, and why are you one people? What is the cohesive force? What makes you one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored us by associating Himself. And Allah said, because I am your Rabb. You are one because I am your Rabb. So worship me. Allah did not say, Allah could have said, you are one people because you are all human beings. You are one people because you are all, you know, you all have Arabic names or something. Allah did not say that. Allah said, wa ana rabbuk. I am your Rabb. Reflect on this. Think about this. What a great honor it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that He is our Rabb, therefore we are one people. Fa'budun, therefore worship me. And the second place He said, fattaqun, therefore have my taqwa. Fa'budun refers to hukukullah, refers to the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa refers to hukukul ibad, because taqwa refers to our behavior. Where, how is taqwa expressed? How do you know whether I have taqwa or not? You will know only, you can't go into my heart to see that. How will you know if I have taqwa? By looking at my behavior. If you see me behaving well, if you see me behaving with goodness, if you see me behaving with politeness, with good manners, helping people, being nice to people, somebody is nasty to me, I do not retaliate. I forgive the person, I behave with dignity. You can say this man has taqwa. Why? Because why is he doing all this? He is doing things which are contrary to his nature. If somebody curses me, my nature is to curse him back. If somebody curses me, if somebody angers me, my nature is to send him to the dentist. Right? And if he angers me even more than if I have the power, then my nature will be to send him into the qabristan. But I'm not doing that. So you can say, why is he not doing it? Because he knows Allah does not like this. Allah does not like that you retaliate for what people did. What is the dalil? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to Taif. After Fatah Makkah, the Battle of Hunayn, the army is going to conquer Taif. 10,000 soldiers, fully equipped. For the first time, they had that many weapons. They stop in a particular place, and Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu called the other. I'm talking about the expression of taqwa. I'm talking about behaving in a way which is not normal, only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are going, they stop in a place, and Bilal radiallahu anhu called the other. Now, at that time, there was a group of young Quraysh, young men of Quraysh, who made fun of Bilal bin Rabah radiallahu anhu. Because if you remember, after Fatah Makkah, a lot of people came into Islam. And these people did not have the time or the opportunity of tarbiyah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or with the Sahaba. So they simply decided the caravan, so they became Muslim, but nothing has changed. They had the same old nature. So they thought this black man is calling the other, and there was this whole racism that was there, and the black people were looked down upon, so they started mocking him and they started calling him names. In the narration, those names are given. I don't want to repeat those names because they're very painful. I'm not interested in repeating that. So therefore you can imagine. This matter was reported to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now think about this. This is the army. Military law applies. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the commander in chief. Here are people who are mocking one of the biggest and one of the most senior and one of the closest of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It amounts to treason. It amounts to insurrection, insurgency. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called them. He said, call these people. These young people, they realized that this is now serious. I mean, we were mocking him, but this has become a problem. So anyway, they came. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, sit down. They sat down. Rasulullah said, who was walking Bilal?
So there was one of them called Abu Mahdura. So they knew there's no point in hiding because how can you hide? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform you who it was. So there's no point in telling lies, no point in hiding. We have to tell the truth.
So Rasulullah said to him, come closer. Now put yourself in his position. What do you think was going through his mind? Wallah alam. Because now
he did something, he got caught, he is in the military camp, he is in front of the commander in chief, there are soldiers, there are arms. He is being called, come closer. Now what is the next step? Next step is Rasulullah does that and his head falls. Is it? It can happen. Because what is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's point? He has to establish authority. People cannot behave like this. You are in the army, you have to follow the law. He has to establish power. He could have done that. If he had done that, was there somebody going to question him? No. What does he do?
He calls Abu Mahdura, he says, come close. When Abu Mahdura is sitting in front of him, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, shall I teach you how to make the azan? Learn about the Nabi alayhi salam. It is the nature of human beings that generally with people, the closer you get to somebody, the more you know somebody, you actually start disliking them because you see their weaknesses, you see their faults. But with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer you get to him, the more you learn about him, the more you love him. Read the seerah, study the seerah. We are doing, I'm teaching a course tomorrow and tomorrow on the seerah. It's called Seerah is the Answer. I wrote a book on that. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him and he said, do you want me to teach you about that? Now Mahadur, at that point in time, whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he was going to say yes, Nabi. No way that he was going to say anything else. He said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. So Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, okay, now repeat after me. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches him the other. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Abu Hazura repeats, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة Allah. Abu Mahzura radiallahu anhu repeats the other. And then, this is transformation. This is transformation. And then Abu Mahzura says, Ya Rasulullah, Bilal is your Muazzin in Medina. Make me your Muazzin in Mecca. Who is saying this? The man until 5 minutes before was mocking Bilal of Bilal. This is transformation. This is how the heart changes because of your behavior. Not because of force. Because of love. Treating somebody who made a mistake with love, not with force. Somebody who was liable to be punished. Somebody who could have been punished. You had the power to punish him. But instead of punishing him, you treat him with love. What happened? He completely changes. He says, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bilal radiallahu anhu is your Muazzin in Medina. Make me your Muazzin in Mecca. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are my Muazzin in Mecca. The historians, they say that Abu Mahzura, Allah gave him a very long life. He lived to almost 100 years old. And they said every single day, 5 times a day, he would come into the haram. He would make wudu. He would make tawaf, he would read 2 rakat of salah, and then he would call the other. Five times a day, this is what he would do. How did this transformation happen? Because of love. One people, one ummah. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, who is a Muslim? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah, who prays in the direction of our Kaaba and who eats what he saw. That's it. Only 3 conditions. Only 3 conditions. He said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not say, who says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadu Rasulullah, with ikhlas. Because you don't know whether there is a class or not. I cannot go into your heart to see if there is a class. I can see what you say. I can hear what you say. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who said, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. The one who worships in the direction of our Kaaba. And the one who eats what we slaughter is a Muslim. Just reflect today, my brothers and sisters, what have we done with this thing? What have we done with this thing? The Salafi calls the Barelvi kafir, the Barelvi calls the Salafi kafir, the Shafi will not pray behind the Hanafi will not pray behind the Shafi. The one says, if you move your finger, your Salah is invalid. The one says, if you do not do Rafaidan, your Salah is invalid. The one who says, if you do Rafaidan, your Salah is invalid. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. This is our deen. This is our deen. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we have created you different. We have created you in different races, and different colors, and different nationalities, and different ethnicities. لِتَعَرَقُوا So that you recognize one another. So that you respect one another. So that you appreciate difference. Not so that you can fight with each other. Today we have taken all this and we have converted this into a musibat for ourselves. We are one people. Leave the person to himself and between him and his Rabb. Allah did not send you and me to pronounce takfir on somebody. Allah did not send you or me to decide who is a Muslim and who is not a Muslim. Let me worry about whether I am a Muslim or not. Let me worry about whether when I stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, whether Allah will consider me to be a Muslim or not. Are we all so secure in ourselves that now it is time for us, it is now time for us to, for me to sit in judgment on you and decide if you are a Muslim. Am I so secure in myself that I give myself this power which Allah did not give me, which the deen did not give me? And I give myself this power and say, I will decide if you will go to Jannah or Jahannam, because Jannah and Jahannam belong to me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun.
That's why any time when somebody asks me, people ask me sometimes because I travel, they say, what is your opinion about so and so? I tell them, I haven't even decided my opinion for myself. You want me to give you opinion about so and so? Let us worry about ourselves, because as Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, if I am told that the whole world went into Jannah and only one man went into Jahannam, I will believe it is me. And the opposite of this. Let me worry about myself. Allah said, we are one people. Let us behave like one people. Treat the other person with love. If you see somebody doing something which according to you is wrong, don't criticize him. Don't lambaste him. Don't condemn him. Don't pronounce takfir. Don't even criticize him in public. Don't humiliate him. Treat him with love. Treat him with affection. Make friends with him. And believe me, a time will come when he will himself ask you, what must I do? He will ask you, what must I do? There was a man in the time of Ilyas, rahmatullah alayhi, Ilyas Kandavi rahmatullah alayhi. There was a very big businessman from Lahore. So he came to Nizamuddin to be in the company of his sheikh, Ilyas Kandavi rahmatullah alayhi, the founder of the work of Tabligh in India. And this man who came, he was very westernized. So he had no beard. Now you know the public position of beard and so on and so on. So he came to, and he's staying now in Masjid, in the Bangalore Masjid in Islamabad. So in those days, the wealthy people, they did not even shave themselves. They used to call the barber, and the barber would shave. So the man arrives there. The next morning, one of the Ilyas Ramadullah, they sent for the barber. The barber comes, they put a chair in the courtyard of the masjid. This businessman is sitting on the chair and the barber is shaving him in the masjid. There is absolute, consternation. People are saying, what on earth is happening here? We say the dahiya, the beard is sunnah, and here this man, and he is not doing it on his own. This has been ordered by Ilyas Ramadullah. So now since he was ordered by him, they can't even go and ask him, what's happening to you. But lot of turmoil. One day passes, 2 days pass, 3 days pass, every day same story. The barber comes and shaves this man. On the orders of Marana Ilyas Ramadullah. 4-5 days pass, 6th day or 7th day, no barber. What happened? How come this barber is coming every day, shaving this man, or today suddenly there is nobody? Next day, no barber. 3rd day, no barber. So what happened? What happened was that this man, after seeing the people who are in the masjid, after seeing what he was himself doing, he went to Quran Ilyas and he said, please, I don't want the barber, I don't need it, I have got the message. Alhamdulillah, I will keep my lehya, I will keep my beard. Quran Ilyas Ramadullah did not even say one word to him. He did not say, you should have a beard, this is sunnah, this is barakah, nothing. You want to say, please go to the completion. I will pay for it, go pay. These stories are not only for telling you, these stories are for us to think about and say, what is my behavior? What do we do? Instant condemnation. I'm not saying that you should go to the person and say, no, you know, you are doing a very good thing, you are shaving, fantastic, mashallah. No, no need to do that either. No need to go to this extreme or that extreme. Focus on the goodness of the person. Many times we have a masjid and I have a masjid in Hyderabad. A lot of young people come. So, Salatul Zuhur, Salatul Asr,
You got a young person who comes now, the fellow's got this fancy, you know, step haircut, which is Islamic haram. Then he's wearing jeans and he's wearing a very short top, and you know, when he goes into ruku, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and he goes into sajda, Allah knows what happens to him. So people, if I'm not there, I've seen many times. Some of the, especially the old uncles, he'll tell him, your salah has not been accepted. I say, Allah, you got wahina. He was praying to you, so you know salah is not accepted. I told him, look, think about this. Here is this 17 or 18 year old boy. In today's world, 2019, he is coming to pray Salatul Fajr, he is coming to pray Salatul Asr by Jama'ah in the masjid. According to me, he is a wali Allah. If he prays naked, I will not say anything. He does not understand the adab of the masjid. He is wearing clothes which are not technically correct. But think about this fact that he could have been anywhere. His age group, where are they? But he comes to the masjid and he's praying Salah by Jama'ah, and the only thing I can do is criticize him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Love them. Show them respect. And he will himself come to you and he will say, Shaykh, you know this t-shirt I'm wearing, is this okay? I never answer the questions. I ask him, what do you think? He said, no, I don't think it's okay. I said, then why are you asking? Last one, and we will end with this. What is the last element? What was the first element? Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second element? Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third element? One people. Fourth element? We are a people with a purpose. I'm not talking about the individual purpose. Everyone should be a person with a purpose. You must have your individual goals, your financial goals, your spiritual goals, your goals for your family, and so on and so forth. I'm saying the purpose, collective purpose of the ummah. The collective purpose of the ummah is to be beneficial to the people. Allah said, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." You have been extracted and selected, and you are the best of people. Extracted and selected for what? For the benefit of the people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The best of you is the one who is the most beneficial to the people." Let us ask ourselves, what benefit am I causing to others? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel Islam came and emphasized the rights of neighbors on me so many times that I thought Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reveal Quran to say that the neighbor is an inheritor in your property. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he is not a Muslim. They asked Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? Think about it, who is pronouncing takbir? Muhammad Rasulullah is Rasulullah. He's saying he is not a Muslim, means what? He will be in Jannah or Jahannam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? He said, the one from whose tongue and his hand his neighbor is not there. The Prophet is not saying he is not a good man. He should be correct. This is qat'i. He is saying he is not a Muslim. Ya Rasulullah, who is not a Muslim? Three times. Who is not a Muslim? The one from whose tongue and whose hand neighbor is not safe. Please notice, he did not say his Muslim neighbor is not safe. No, his neighbor, whoever the neighbor is, whether the neighbor is a Buddhist, or the neighbor is a Christian, or the neighbor is an atheist, or the neighbor is a Hindu, whoever the neighbor is, if the neighbor has trouble from you, Rasulullah is saying that you are not a Muslim. I am not making fatwa, this is the Hadith of Rasulullah. Rasulullah said, he is not a Muslim who sleeps with a full belly when his neighbor is sleeping hungry. Our Ghalaf was Elano. He came home one day and they had slaughtered a sheep and they had made some soup. He said, did you send some soup to our neighbor who is a Jewish person? You made soup in your house, why must you send it? Because these are the people who were trained by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, did you say? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he is not a Muslim until he wants what is for his neighbor, what he wants for himself. in the market of Medina. A man comes to a shop, it's towards the closing of the day, the market is going to close in the evening, last few, maybe few minutes or of the time, a man comes from Banu Nadir, because the market was controlled by the Banu Nadir, the Jewish tribe. So this Jewish man comes to this Muslim shopkeeper, the Sahabi Musa Salam, and he asks for something. So the Sahabi says, yeah, you want this here, this here, how much is it for? He said, please give me. The Sahabi says, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Do what favor? He said, go to that shop there in that corner. That man has the same thing for the same price. Buy it for him. Very strange behavior. So this customer, he says, this is very strange. I am coming to you for something. You have the product. You ask, you have a price for it. Price is acceptable to me. But you are not selling it to me, you are sending me to your competition. Why? This Muslim, this Sahabi says, the reason I am telling you that is because I have been watching the whole day today for some reason, then that man got no business. Nobody came to him. So now he will go home hungry. I don't want that to happen. He has the same product for the same price. So I take it from him. This Jewish man says, okay, fair enough. He goes there. When he goes there, what does he see? He sees that shopkeeper is from this, his own tribe. He is a Banu Nadir Jewish man, not a Muslim. So he buys the thing. When he comes back, some other customer is here with this Sahabi. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he has decreed for you, that has to come to you. So you, no matter how many people you send away, Allah will send some more. So some other customer is there. So while this man is talking to the customer, he sees the other guy standing there. He says, well, stay, I sent him there, what happened? Once the customer is finished, he called, come here. He says, what happened? You didn't get the product? He said, I got the product. He says, then why did you come back here? He said, because now I want something which is in your heart. What is in your heart which made you send me to another man, and that man is not even a Muslim. He's a Jewish man. He's from my tribe. What is that in your heart? This is our purpose. As long as the Muslims understood this purpose, as long as they took this purpose with them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them kingdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them influence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them authority, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them humongous undoubted wealth. But when they forgot this purpose and they started using that wealth for their own self-aggrandizement, for luxury, and instead of benefiting people, they started becoming harmful to people, they started usurping other people's rights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took it all away. So I remind myself anyway, I want to close with this, four elements of brand Muslim. The purpose of saying this to you is because we need to bring this into our lives. Total obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else, one people and people with a purpose. If you combine these four elements into one, that element is called the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we live our lives according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we would have acquired these four elements within ourselves. And that is the reason why it's important for you to study the seerah. It is important for us to study the seerah. It's important for us to bring our lives on the beautiful way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فَهُمْ لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah says, the best example for you is the example of the life of my Habib Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the one who has faith and who looks forward to the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Nabi of Jannah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to bring our lives on the seerah and sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to reward you, to protect you, to keep you in His protection, to have mercy on you, to forgive your sins. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you, to accept your du'as. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cure anyone who has any illness. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save from the clutches and the shackles of interest-based earning and interest spending, and free you from the haram of earning and spending. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free you from all worries and all anxieties, and enable you to have His khashya and His hope in your heart, so that you have tawakkul on Him jalla jalaluhu and on no one and nobody else. صلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه.